Welcome to New Generation Church with Eddie Garcia.
Here. We're going to springboard off of this verse. It's Genesis 50. If you have your Bible, since you're already on your feet, we'll stand for the reading of God's word out of Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20. And if you don't have it, that's fine. It's going to be on the screen. Just follow along. It says in Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20, it says, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. For am I in the place of God? Verse 20, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, do not be afraid. Tell him, do not be afraid. Now tell him, God meant it for good. Has any of you guys ever felt afraid? Be honest, come on. We've all felt afraid, right? But God commands us not to fear. God commands us not to be afraid. God says, do not fear. Hundreds of times throughout the Bible, you read the word, do not fear. But what does that mean? Are you wrong to feel fear when you're not sure how to pay next month's rent or next month's car payment? Or when you get a bad news of dear health diagnosis? Or when your job is on the line? Is it wrong to fear? Is it wrong to fear, to feel afraid, to feel like, you know what, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what's going to happen, Lord. Is it wrong to feel afraid? No, it's not wrong to feel afraid. You're not wrong. You were wired that way. Your brains, they experience fear. It's a primary emotion. This is the reason and the purpose for our fears as we respond to triggers that stimulate fear in us. It's normal to feel fear. In the Bible, you see that people, men and women of God, were afraid of certain situations that came to their life. But God says, do not fear. God says this morning, do not fear. He is not commanding you or I to shut off the part of our brain that brings fear, but He is commanding us to not fear. God is saying this morning, it don't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter your situation, your illness, your financial status. God is reminding you this morning, and this is why you came to the house of God, because God is telling you, do not fear. Do not fear. Don't be afraid. His model citizen isn't an emotionless, a stoic robot. You know, God's model is not somebody that doesn't fear, that is oblivious to emotions. We are not robots. It's normal to feel fear. It is normal to get teary-eyed. It is normal sometimes to even doubt God, because we are in the flesh. We're humans. The real issue God wants us to wrestle with is where we go when we fear. I'm going to say that again. The real issue here this morning is, what do we do when we have fear? Where do you go with your fears? How do you deal with them? Where do you go with your fears? How do you deal with the fears that come to your life? It's quiet in God's house this morning. I lost the amens. I lost the praise the Lord, the hallelujahs. But I came to remind you, do not be afraid. Don't fear. Do not be afraid. Don't fear. God is with you. Simply put, God wants us to come to Him. Fear can paralyze you, church. Fear can paralyze us. Yet when we fear in the presence of God, God helps us to take the next step of faith, even in the midst of our fears. Hallelujah. Have you ever stepped out in the middle of your fear, taking that step of faith, and you've seen God's faithfulness over and over and over again? You were afraid to take that step of faith. You were afraid to put in that application. You were afraid to speak out. You were afraid to show up, but you did it anyways. And you seen that God delivered you. You seen that God answered you. And God is reminding you again this morning, do not be afraid. God helps us to take the next step of faith, even in the midst of our fear. Unfortunately, no one will be able to escape fear in this sinful and broken world. But fear is real. Fear can paralyze you. But I've come to remind you this morning that it is powerful, and it is the power of God and the power of His word that breaks the fear. Remember that God is more powerful than our fear. God is more powerful than our doubts. God is more powerful than our insecurities. We serve a mighty and a powerful God that's still alive, and He continues to move in 2025 regardless of our fears. He has the power and the desire to be with us in the midst of our fears. We have to invite Him. We have to allow Him to move in our lives. We have to tell Him and render everything to Him and say, I can't make it on my own. I can't do it by myself. I'm fearing, Lord God, but I'm trusting in You. It sounds crazy, huh? I'm fearing, but I'm also trusting in You. I'm fearing, but I'm also trusting in Your faithfulness. I'm doubting, but I'm trusting. I'm struggling because I'm in this flesh. I carry this flesh. I carry this coat. I carry this tunic that makes me doubt at times. But I'm also trusting in Your favor. I'm also depending in You, knowing that You've called me, knowing that You've come through before. And if You did it then, You're going to do it now. He has the power and the desire to be with us in the midst of our fears. No estás solo, sola. You are not by yourself. You're not alone. He's with you. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my right hand. God has promised to be with you. God has promised that in the midst of your fear, He will raise you up with His right hand. The diagnosis doesn't have the last answer or the last word. The doctor does not have the last word. The psychologist does not have the last word. God has the last word, and He's saying this morning, do not be afraid. Psalms 27:1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my strength of my life. Or whom shall I be afraid? Hallelujah. Why are you afraid? Why are we scared? He's our salvation. Whom shall we fear? The Lord is our strength. Whom shall we be afraid of? Nobody can do it better than God. Nobody can do it better than your God, Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf. Psalm 46, 1 and 2 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Therefore, we will not fear because God is our refuge and our strength. Not just that, he's present to help you. He hasn't forgot about you. Even though you and I, we doubt, even though we believe, we think, you know what, how can God bring this or allow this in my life at this season in my life? I've been serving, I've been going to church, I've been tithing, I've been giving, I've been doing my ministry, I've been doing everything that I'm doing. Why? Hello, somebody. We tend to fear. We get afraid, we forget the victories that we've won. We forget that God is with us. We forget who gave us the dream. Hallelujah. Who gave you your dream? Who gave you the vision? Who called you out of darkness into the light? That should be enough to motivate us. That should be enough to remind us to bring within us a movement that says, yes, yes, si se puede. Yes, it can be done because he did it before and he'll do it again. So fear, you have to leave. Hallelujah. Tell fear, go. Tell him right now. Tell him right now. Fear, you got to go. Go, leave. There's no room for you. There's no place for you. You don't pay rent here. You got to go. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Fear, you gotta go. Psalms 118:6 says, the Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Hallelujah. What can man do to you? What can man do to you? Do not fear. The Lord is on your side. Hallelujah. It even sounds like the name of a gang. The Lord's side. The Lord's side. We belong to the clique, the gang, the biggest gang on earth, which is the Lord's side. Because the Lord is on our side. He is next to us. He is with us. He sustains us in the palm of his mighty hand. Where are you from? I'm from the Lord's side. Where are you from? I'm from the Lord's side. I've come this morning, church. I want to remind you that you have everything that you need already within you. God has already deposited in you everything that you need to make it in this life. But sometimes we forget. We become fearful because of others. And I'm going to be preaching, teaching to you guys why I chose this topic. Because Joseph, we started off in Genesis. Let's go back there again. Genesis 50, verses 19 and 20. That was just an introduction. It says, Joseph said to them, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about as it is this day, to save many people of life. Hallelujah. See, to understand this verse, we have to go back, you know, to where it all began. We have to go back to chapter 37 of the book of Genesis, where God calls Joseph, where God shows favor over the life of Joseph. You got to understand that Joseph's brothers are afraid of him in this verse that we just read because of their own bad doings towards Joseph. Hello, somebody. Joseph's brothers are afraid of him because of their own bad doing towards Joseph. So Joseph tells him, don't be afraid. For am I in the place of God? Have you ever been around somebody who talks about you behind your back and then you get in their face, or you, that sounds bad, not in their face, but you stand in front of them and it seems like they have nothing to say. Hello, somebody. Why? Because that's the conviction of the Lord in their lives. Because they know that they're wrong. And your silence worries them. Joseph's brothers were afraid of him because of their own bad doing towards Joseph. The Bible shows me and the Bible teaches me that that which a man soweth, he will also reap. So that's why it's important, church, not to backbite, not to talk bad about people. So when you're in front of them, you don't get nervous in the service. You know that your God knows your heart. You know that you're clean. You know that you're pure. You know that you have been walking in integrity and you have nothing to be afraid of. Hello. Se fueron los amenes, el último. God can use the mess in you and your life to bring you to your destiny. I'm going to say that again. God can use the mess you are in today to bring you to the place of your destiny. You know, if you know and you read the story, I'm going to paraphrase some of it for the sake of time. But Joseph had been sold by his brothers into slavery. His brothers hated him. His brothers didn't like him because his father, Israel, Jacob, had made him a tunic. He had made him a special coat of different colors, and he had given it to Joseph because he loved Joseph. Joseph had a special love in Jacob's heart, and it was evident. Hello, somebody. It was evident because he made him a coat. Go ahead and take it off. Thank you, Eddie. He had a coat of different colors, and it was evident. He was different. And how many know that sometimes people can't stand the fact that you're different? Sometimes people can't stand that you don't fit the mold. And they just, it bothers them. It rubs them the bad way. And that's what was happening in the life of Joseph. His brothers were jealous. Hello, somebody. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, are you jealous? Are you jealous? Come on, let's be real. You see, but what I admire about Joseph, what I like about Joseph, is that his brothers, they hated him because of God's favor in his life. The tunic that he wore was given to him by his father. And usually a tunic was given to the eldest son. And in this case, Joseph wasn't even the eldest or the youngest. He was like the middle child. But you know why Joseph was given this tunic? Is because Jacob loved him, Israel. Loved him. Jacob and Israel is the same person, okay? Not being bipolar. Jacob... His name was Jacob, but then he fought with an angel. And then the angel told him, you know what? You have fought against God and you have prevailed. And he hits him in the hip and he tells him, no, you'll no longer be called Jacob. Now your name will be Israel. Amen. So that's Joseph's dad. Joseph's dad is named Israel or Jacob. You'll read it in the Bible, so don't get confused. So Joseph was the son of Rachel. And Jacob loved Rachel. There was a special place in Jacob's heart for Rachel. And when he seen Joseph, it's like he would see Rachel. So there was a special place in Israel and Jacob's heart towards Joseph, and it was so special that it was evident. And how many people know that sometimes other people, not here, But other people, they can't stand to see God's favor in your life. To see that, they can't stand to see that you're different. That you're not one that's going to go with the flow. That you're not one that's going to buy into their nonsense. In other words, you're going to be genuine. You're going to be real. You're going to be who you are, because that's who God called, not the person that they want you to be. Hello, somebody. Joseph had discovered the secret. You know what? You guys want to know what secret that is? He had discovered the secret of forgiveness. The Bible says, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He had discovered who he was in Christ. And once you discover who you are in the Lord, you forgive and you forget. Hello, somebody. You forgive and you forget. But there's those that forgive, but you know what? I don't forget. And that's why they're stuck. That's why they're not growing. That's why God doesn't use them, because they forgive, but they don't forget. And you know what? If God forgave me, if God forgot, who is man? Hallelujah. I'm going to say that again. There's people, not here, but that are watching online. I'll forgive you. But I won't forget. I won't forget. I won't forget. I won't forget. I'll forgive you, but I won't forget. And that unforgiveness is a root of bitterness. That unforgiveness is what's holding you down. God wants to take you to the next level. But that bitterness of unforgetting, you forgiven with your lips. You say everything that you need to say. And you walk according like you've forgiven, but you haven't forgotten. It's still there. Todavía me acuerdo. No se me olvida. I don't forget it. You did it to me, I'm going to do it to you. Hello, somebody. Not here. Aquí no. Allá. Over there. So Joseph discovered the secret of forgiving the enemies. You see, when you forgive and you forget, you set yourself free. You break every chain. You break every leash that can pull you back. You see, when you forgive, but you don't forget, there's a leash. There's an attachment. Like, there's a leash that connects me. And every time that the devil, the enemy, wants to use something against me, he'll pull that leash. Yeah, boy, there I go. Because that unforgiveness, that's why you're afraid. Because you haven't let go and let God. That's why you're afraid, because that leash is still there. You haven't let go and let God. God forgave you. God forgave me. And you see, that's where Joseph says, you know what? Don't be afraid, guys. For am I in the place of God? And you know what? If you read the story, Joseph, he could have held a grudge. He could have been vindictive. He could have been vengeful. But we see the real heart of Joseph. When he had the opportunity, when he had the upper hand, he humbled himself and he said, don't be afraid. No tengas miedo. Estoy yo en lugar de Dios. Am I in the place of God? Estoy yo en lugar de Dios. Am I in the place of God? He looked at his brothers and he told them, I forgive you and I forget. I forgive you and I forget. Why? Because you meant it for evil against me. But God meant it for good. God turned it around. God flipped the tortilla, Pastor. Dios volteó la tortilla. He flipped that flour tortilla around. He said, you know what? You were trying to harm me, but God protected me. The favor of God over my life. It's nothing that I did. It's all God. So he tells him, you know what? Don't be afraid. You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people. So vengeance belongs to him. I'm going to say that again. Vengeance belongs to him, to the Lord. Vengeance doesn't belong to us. Vengeance, remember that vengeance will just keep you on the leash. Vengeance will get you mad when you see that person. But once you let go, you let go. 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 Even though you're in the right, but you let go. And you let God. There's freedom. There's freedom. Se quebran. The bondages break. The chains break. Unforgiveness. Unforgiveness holds you. But forgiveness breaks you free. I'm going to say it again. Unforgiveness holds you. But forgiveness sets you free. Forgiveness gives you freedom. Forgiveness allows you to walk in the will of God, because vengeance belongs to him, to the Lord of lords, and to the kings of kings. The longer we cherish unforgiving attitude in our hearts, the more we harm ourselves. I'm going to say that again. It's worth reading again. It says, the longer we cherish or we entertain unforgiving attitudes in our hearts, the more we harm ourselves. No le voy a hablar. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to talk to her. And they're like this. And they're walking around like, saying hi to everybody. Saying hello to everybody in the house. Except to that one person that they're holding vengeance. They're holding unforgiveness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not here. I don't want anybody to think that I'm talking about people in this house. Or that I'm trying to cast shade. Or that I'm throwing stones, because that's very common nowadays. You know, now I understand when Pastor Eddie preaches and he's looking at the ceiling, because he don't want to make eye contact with anybody, because people are so sensitive and they're going to think that I'm throwing it at them, that I'm talking about them. But you know what? Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, do not harden your heart, because God is saying, do not be afraid. I'm just going to stick to my notes. The longer we cherish unforgiving attitude in our hearts, the more we harm ourselves. Unforgiveness acts like a leash that keeps snapping us back. It's causing pain. It's causing painful things in your life. And it keeps taking you to the past. That unforgiveness, that attitude. That I know it all. That I'm better than you. You're lower than I am. You've forgotten where God took you out of. You've forgotten who is the one that forgave you for your wrongdoings. You've forgotten what God did in your life. And that's why you think you're better than others. But God is here to remind you that you have linen in your closet. And they're not clean. They're dirty also. But I've forgiven you. That's why you're where you're at. I knew I wasn't going to get an amen there. We all, in Spanish, I'm not even going to say it. We can all, you know, we can all be put to shame. But thank God for his grace and his mercy, for his forgiveness. Right? Because God set us free. That's why we're not afraid. But when you don't forgive others the way you've been forgiven, then you open that door. You know, when you hold, you open that door so that somebody can come in and take out that linen. Hello, somebody. When you don't forgive, you're opening up that door and you're saying, okay, you can come in all the way to the hamper and take out the dirty linen. But when you forgive, when you forgive, you close the door. You close the door. You say, you know what? No, I'm not afraid because I know that God forgave me. I know where I stand in Christ. I know who I am in the Lord. And that's what the people don't like about you, because they know you know who you are. You know that you're at because God's merciful, because of God's grace, not because anything that you or I have done. We know that we're sinners saved by grace. We know that we fail, but we have a God that restores. We God have a God that lifts us up. And I want to take a break, a commercial real quick. It doesn't mean that we can continue to sin and play with sin. We just recognize, let's clarify, that we know that we cannot live a life of sin, that we don't do it to test God. We know who we are because God redeemed us, because God forgave us, because there's power in the blood of Jesus that set us free from that past. Vengeance belongs to the Lord. Only when we choose to let God be the God of vengeance, we take ourselves off that lofty throne. We take ourselves off of that pedestal. We take ourselves off of that prideful attitude that walks around saying, look at me. Look at where I'm at. Look at what I've accomplished. Hello. That throne. That prideful throne. You see, and that's what God wants to deal with this church. And that's what God wanted to deal with Joseph's brothers. They all hated him. They were prideful. They had unforgiving hearts. Forgiving, which will always include bringing kingdom benefits to the lives of others. See, when you forgive, you open that door for the kingdom, for the benefits. You know, you're stuck. You haven't been growing. Then you need to check yourself this morning. Why am I stuck? Why haven't I been growing? You're struggling in your finances. You need to check. What door is open? What do I need to close? What area do I need to work in so that the kingdom benefits can become, so that the kingdom benefits can become manifest, so that they can be operating in our lives? Amen. Genesis 37, verses 3 and 4. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he had made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably of him. In other words, they were, his name would pop up, they would say Eddie, and be like, oh. They would say Joseph, and they'd be like, oh. Or they would say Ephraim, ay. Robert, oh. Man. Angel, oh. Griselda, ay, Señor. Monica, ay. Les da un coraje. They would get mad. They would say Joseph, and they could not speak peaceably of him. All they had was anger towards him. They were haters. They hated on Joseph's favor. And Joseph, didn't do anything to them. It wasn't his fault that his father was being good to him, that he had favor with his dad. You know, he didn't ever ask for a tunic. He never asked for favor. You know, sometimes favor is not fair. I'm going to say that again. Sometimes God's favor is not fair. I don't know. When you get to heaven, take it up with him. Talk to him. Tell him, why have you given these people so much favor? How come they get away with what they get away with? Why are they allowed to do what they are allowed to do? Favor is not fair. Ni un amen. Joseph was the favorite son. Joseph received a special tunic or a coat from his father, Jacob, Israel. Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons because Joseph was the son of his favorite wife, Raquel, Rachel. Esa Rachel, huh? She made cute babies. She made Joseph. So he loved her. Only one sister got that one. Amen. Israel loved Joseph more than his other sons because Joseph was the son of his favorite wife, Raquel. It wasn't his coat. It was his character. I'm going to say that again. It wasn't Joseph's coat. It was his character. You see, Joseph, if you study the life of Joseph, Joseph was transparent. Joseph was real. Joseph would say what would come to his heart. He would speak the truth. And his brothers didn't like that. His brothers hated him even more because Jacob would tell Joseph, hey, go check on your brothers. And he would go and he would spy. He was doing his job. He would go and he'd spy and he'd come back to Israel, to Jacob, and he'd tell him everything he'd seen. He wasn't a snitch, but they thought he was a snitch. You know that only people that are walking in the flesh think that people that tell the truth are snitches. I'm going to say that again. Only people that are walking in the flesh. Let me turn that off. I'm almost done. Only people that are walking in the flesh think that people that tell the truth are snitches. I gave you a chance to clap or to say praise God. Not even then. So his brothers, they hated him because Joseph would tell the father the truth. And they said, ahí viene el mitotero, here comes the tattletale. They seen him at a distance, and they were already planning. They were conspiring to do him evil. Why? Because Joseph was a dreamer. Joseph had a vision. I'm going to say that again. Joseph was a dreamer. He had a vision. He had godly dreams. So it wasn't the coat. It was his character. They could take his coat, but they couldn't take his character. Joseph's brothers hated him. They couldn't speak good, peaceably of him. In other words, they would clench their teeth every time and their fists every time that Joseph's name came about. Genesis 37:5 says, now Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. God speaking. Thank you, Lord. Joseph had the ability to love regardless of being treated unjustly. I'm going to say that again. Joseph had the ability to love regardless of being treated unjustly. It wasn't just that they hated him. It was that it was his own brothers, his own family, his own blood, his own kinfolk. See, it was bad enough that he was hated on, but that wasn't it. It was that he was being hated on by his own family. I don't know about you, but when I'm around my family, I should feel comfortable. I should feel like I don't have to have my guard up. See, it hurted Joseph because it was his own family. It was his own blood. It was his own kinfolk that were hating on him. Genesis 37, 10 and 11 says, so he told it to his fathers and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come and bow to the earth before you? And his brothers envied him. But his father kept the matter in mind. You see, God gave Joseph a dream. And he told his brothers and he told his father the dream. And when he told them the dream, they knew that it was a godly dream. But they couldn't accept the fact that because Joseph was younger, because Joseph was at a lower level, you could say, that even his dad said, am I and your mom and your older brother, we're gonna bow before you. They couldn't accept the dream. But Joseph's dream was prophetic. Joseph's dream was prophetic. God was giving him a vision of the future. Jacob asked, am I really going to come down and bow down before you? Actually, yes. Jacob and his brothers would bow down before him. God intended to lead Joseph to a grand destiny. But Joseph would have a lot of unexpected detours in his life to get there. Sometimes, that's why the title of the message is, do not be afraid. Because sometimes you're in a rough place right now. You're in hardship. You're going through it. But it doesn't mean that the dream's not going to come to pass. It doesn't mean that it's not going to be fulfilled. God's preparing you. God's getting you ready for what he has in store for your life. Okay, that's the final alarm right there. Genesis 37, 18 and 19. Now, when they saw him afar, even before he came near to them, they conspired against to kill him. Then they said to one another, look, this dreamer is coming. They hated on him. When they saw him coming at a distance, they plotted to kill him. They couldn't stand his dreams, so they wanted to ensure that they would never come true. Hallelujah. The Lord have mercy. Amen. 37 verses 23 and 24. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic of many colors that was on him. And they took him and they cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. So they stripped Joseph of his tunic, his coat, his robe that his father had made him and he had given to him because his father loved him. They tried removing God's favor off of his life. Hallelujah. And how many know that even though they take his tunic, they couldn't take God's favor from his life? You know, people can talk about you all they want. They can start rumors, but they can't take God's favor off of your life. They can't steal your dream. Because if God gave it to you, God will fulfill it. Don't be afraid. God is with you. Even in the midst of situations you don't understand. They took him and put him in a pit. But don't be afraid. Even the pit, God is there with you. Tell your neighbor, even in the pit, tell him, even in the pit, God is with you. Don't be afraid, Tom. Don't be afraid. And I'm going to fast forward to the end because I want to I want you to know and see that even though they plan evil against him, God meant it for good. Even though they wanted to harm him, God meant it for good. And verses 37 and 36 says, now the Midianites had sold him in Egypt to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Verses 39, 1 through 6, and then this will be the end of it. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought to him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in the hands of Joseph. So Joseph found favor. Tell your neighbor, you have found favor. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of the house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was all that he had in the house and in the fields. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand and did not know what he had except for the bread he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. Tell your neighbor, are you handsome? That's guapo, guapa. Amen. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Amen. God, it don't matter what you're going through. It's just a season. You know, you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, but you're just going through it. You're not going to stay there. So don't set up camp. It's temporary. Yes, push through it. You will overcome. God will prosper you. Just don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Joseph, he was persistent. He never gave up. Whatever situation that he was in, he wouldn't allow that situation to affect him. He would affect the situation. He would change the atmosphere. Why? Because he knew that God was with him. Amen. Let us stand to our feet.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at etngchurch.com.